welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, everybody, welcome to our brand new series. I hope you enjoyed the trailer. We had a lot of fun putting it together. What could be better than messing out with fire for an afternoon to put a video together? Well, we hope you enjoyed it, and welcome to this brand new series. Everybody in the worship services, hi, it's great to have you in the venues. And for those of you watching online or catching up later, we're so glad that you could join with us today in all that's going on. And I'm really believing that God's going to speak to you. God's going to make a difference in your life. Do you know, God knew that you're going to be listening to this, and God has something prepared, I believe, that will make a difference for you. Well, help. What a great trailer. It's the beginning of our new series, a series really designed to try and speak into what's going on in our lives at the moment. Because let's face it, and we all keep saying this, isn't it strange? I had a birthday this week, and so I'm a little bit older than I was, and I've never known anything so crazy as these last few months with lockdowns and furlough schemes and everything that's going on. But there's one thing for sure that I'm very glad of. I'm glad that I live in this country. The UK is an amazing place to live. It's always an amazing place to live, but in this particular season, I think it's even more amazing. We have such an amazing government, so generous. Take, for example, the furlough scheme. The furlough scheme would pay people up to £2,500 a month for doing nothing, for doing absolutely nothing. Isn't that amazing? £2,500 for just staying at home. And it says about 10 million people took advantage of this amazing scheme. And it is incredibly generous. I have friends around the world, including Brazil, and I was chatting about all that our government was doing for us and how generous they were being. And my pastor friend, he said, wow. He said, you should tell your guys how fortunate they are. In Brazil, if you get the equivalent to their furlough, they've been paid, are you ready for this? £60 a month. You didn't hear it wrong. £60 a month. We are truly blessed at all the support that's been going on. And we have an incredible health service. Our health service, it's all free. If you hurt yourself today, you can walk in off the street and they'll treat you for free. If you have a baby, it's free. If you have cancer, it's free. Don't worry, it's free. It is an amazing system that we have. And almost the whole country's been supportive, volunteering. So even mortgage companies have been trying their best. Our landlord here in South Preston, where we're filming from, he's been incredible. Mr. Buckley, thank you so much, if you're watching this, for being so generous over the last few months. And we have the internet. Imagine this had happened, you know, 20 years ago. We'd all been stuck at home, and we'd just be, well, stuck at home with a telephone, you know, jing. Jing, yes, I remember that. Jing, jing. And now we have FaceTime, we have WhatsApp, we have Zoom. We can contact people around the world. I was talking on Tuesday on my birthday with pastors DJ and Karen from Johannesburg in South Africa. And it's easy. And it's been so amazing. We do live in an amazing country. Yeah, it's not all been amazing, has it? No, it's been difficult. Fear. You might be watching this and going, you know, I've been a bit scared, or I'm a bit scared of all that's going on for yourself or for the people that you love. You might be scared of getting the illness, or scared of dying, or somebody who you love catching the illness and dying. And even though we know in our heads that so few people actually die from this, from all the millions that have caught it, but it could be us, right? And that brings a bit of fear, or somebody that we love. Loneliness, cabin fever. You know, it's being stuck in the same house for so long without being able to get out much. Or if you're on your own, living on your own, being stuck there without any company, it can be hard work. It's not fun being on your own. People have faced financial challenges. Some people have lost their jobs. You might have lost your job, or you might be self-employed running a business and it's not been easy. A lot of your income's dried up, the customers aren't coming in, or you might be running a business and be part of a business that's been really badly affected. And what once was a very profitable business now is barely making money, or it's making a loss every single month, and you don't really know what to do. Some of us have been teachers. You know, Michelle and I, we were teachers for a few months. Well, To be fair, we were just encouraging Abigail to do what the school said, but some of you have been teaching your children to try and keep the education up. It has been strange. Businesses, shops, gyms, hairdressers have been closing. Even church had to close for a few months before we were allowed to reopen in a smaller way. But I think the main thing has been uncertainty. So many of us have felt unsure, unsure of what's going on, unsure economically. And it looks like we're just at the beginning of some kind of recession, and we're uncertain what's going to happen. For those of us who follow the government and their finances, we're unsure about how the government's ever going to pay this £300 billion it's going to spend this year supporting them. £300 billion, that's a huge figure. And then how will it ever get off this kind of treadmill of spending money going forward? Will we ever afford it? Will there be more lockdowns? Will the illness come back? Will our health service cope in the weeks and months to go? Will a vaccine ever turn up? Will that saviour of a vaccine ever turn up? And I guess I've been pondering over the last few weeks this as well. What kind of future will we be leaving for our children and our grandchildren when this virus has come and gone and the dust has settled, the debts have to be paid, the cost has to be paid? What will we be leaving for our future generations? Yes, we live in an amazing country, in an amazing time, but still there are things that we are worried about. And this series wants to speak into these things in all sorts of different ways. I think as I begin my particular message, I want to say this. I want to thank all the guys who work in government, be they central government or local government. You have been doing an incredible job looking after us. Healthcare systems, the police service looking after us, keeping us safe. We have the army that keeps us safe and our secret services. We have the safety nets in case we get unemployed or get ill. We have fire services. We have rubbish collectors. We have teachers educating. We have people looking after our roads. We have pensions. We have so much that the local and our central government does for us. So much so, I guess you, like me, never really worry about things. Because we know if something happens to us, hopefully, and we presume somebody will pick the pieces up. You know, if we lose our job, we're sure there'll be some support from the government somewhere. If we get ill, there'll be an NHS. If we need the police, they'll turn up. If we need the secret services to do something, they'll do it to keep us safe. And we very rarely really worry about a lot of these things because we're taken care of and we don't worry about them very much. I once sat down and tried to work out whether I actually paid for the things that the government and local councils actually provide for me. And, I worked out my salary, tried to figure out how much, you know, my income tax was and my national insurance tax would be, tried to work out my fuel duty, my council tax that I've paid over the years, VAT, let's not forget VAT, and there's probably lots of other taxes that I missed. But anyway, I came up with a big figure, like many hundreds of thousands of pounds that I was personally paying into the government and to local council, you know, through my lifetime. And I sat back with a smug smile on my face thinking, do you know, I've probably done pretty well. I'm probably a net contributor to the whole thing. Aren't I doing well? And then I thought, well, I better stack up the costs. So I began to work out some of the costs. And I thought, well, the NHS, that must be expensive. How much does it cost to have a baby? And so if you look at how much it costs a baby, it costs between £6,000 and £8,000 just to have a baby delivered. Yes, really, that much money. And I have three of them. So that's what, £20,000 to £30,000. Now, my children haven't been, I don't think, particularly ill, but we have definitely accessed the NHS from time to time, emergency services, you know, consultants, that kind of thing. Do you know how much a consultant costs for one visit? Yes, between 200 and 350 quid just for one visit to a consultant. Yes, it's a lot of money. And we've been many times to many consultants over the years, which means, rough reckoning, you know, I'd spent close on over £100,000 on the NHS and I probably missed some things. Educating our children is incredibly expensive. Do you know if you go private, it costs you at least £3,000 a term. It could cost you a lot more than that. And our children, how long are our children at school for? Well, they do 7 years at primary school and they do 7 years at secondary school. That's 14 years at £3,000 every term. That's almost £10,000 every year for every child for 14 years. I have three of them. That's a huge amount of money. And then I thought about my pension. At the end of all this, I get a pension. If I live for 20 years after I retire, whenever I eventually get round to retiring, 20 years is 7,500, it's another 150,000. And I just worked out those three things and I was broke. All the money that I thought I was contributing into the system. And that's not paying for the police or the fire service. It's not paying for the rubbish collection. It's not paying for any elderly care that I need. It's not paying for the secret services or the army or everything else that goes on in life. It all gets provided for me. And it's like, wow, I like this country. I'm not a net contributor, I'm a net gainer. And I thought, I quite like that. That's great. I get something from living into this country, in this country. Well, after thinking about all of this and pondering about it for a while, I came to a few conclusions, three conclusions. And I want to share these three conclusions with you as I come to the close of my message. The first one was this, that if the government fell or went broke, went bust, or decided for whatever reason that it couldn't do what it's doing right now, I and my family would be in trouble because we can't afford it. Which rapidly led me into the second conclusion, that if you want help from me, you've had it as well, because I can't help you. We'd all be in serious trouble. The Bible tells us a story of Jesus and the disciples. They were on a teaching day, and they were out in the countryside. Imagine the Lake District, and they were on the hills, and Jesus had been sat on the hillside teaching maybe about 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people before him throughout the whole day. It'd been a long day, and the people, they'd had their packed lunches, and they were now out of food. The day was long, the sun was about to go down. And so the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I think it's time we finished. Why don't you send the crowds away like normal, and we'll go down to some local shops, maybe a coffee shop or a restaurant, we'll grab a cup of tea, a good meal, and we'll kind of go, good day, well done everybody, fantastic. On this particular occasion, Jesus turned to them and said, well, wouldn't it be really nice if we kind of fed them all before they went? And the disciples looked at each other and said, well, Jesus, we can't do that. Because we haven't any food. And to be honest, we're in a rural location. And there's no local shops. There's no Asda's or Tesco's or Morrison's that we can go to. And anyway, feeding this amount of people, well, we just don't have enough money. It'd be incredibly expensive. It'd be very, very expensive. Well, Jesus said, well, what do you have? Well, they did a little count, asked a few people. And this is what the Bible says happened. Matthew chapter 14, verse 17. The disciples came to Jesus and said, well, we've only five loaves. Think of five Warburton's loaves, though that actually are probably a bit smaller. Five Warburton loaves, nice bread, but only five of them, and two fish. And one of the translations says, and what will this do to so many? I mean, five loaves and two fish. How will this help the situation when there's so many people? But Jesus said to them, bring them to me. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And Luke records in groups of 50. Then he took the five loaves and the two fish, looked up to heaven and said, God, thank you so much for this food. We thank you that you can do the impossible. You can do anything. And we know and I know that you can do anything with these five loaves and two fishes. Actually, we don't know what he said, which is a shame. In fact, we know very little what have happened because Matthew describes it like this. He says this, Jesus, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. You have half a loaf. You have half a loaf. You have a fish. You have a fish. You have a fish. You have a fish. You have another half. And so on and so forth. And at some point, as Jesus was giving out the loaves and the fish, the disciples would have realized that Jesus had somehow passed the five loaves and the two fishes. But we don't know how it happened, and Matthew or none of the other gospel writers actually let us know what happened or the feeling or the expression that was going on with the disciples. All we know is this, that he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and that everybody was satisfied, and that's all we know. Five loaves, two fishes, fed 5,000 plus women plus children. And it says this, at the end, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover food. Isn't that amazing? And there's another story in Matthew 17. The disciples and Jesus had gone to a city called Capernaum. And while they were there, when they just got there, two men approached them. Now, tax men are everywhere. One of the consistent things throughout of history is wherever you go, there's somebody wanting some money off you, and it's called tax. And they got to Capernaum, two men turned up, and they came to Peter and said to Peter, has your teacher paid the temple tax? Have you paid? Seemingly in Capernaum, there was a temple tax of two coins. And they asked, have you paid this tax? And Peter and she went, and ended up saying yes, which wasn't true because they hadn't paid it yet. So he lied. He misrepresented Jesus. Anyway, Jesus heard about this or sensed in his spirit that this is what Peter had done. So we read in Matthew 17, verse 25, this. Jesus said to Simon, Simon, what do you think? From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? Well, from others, Peter replied. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and for yours. We need some money. We don't have enough money for the tax. Go and catch a fish. You'll find the 4 coins there. You can go and pay the tax. The writer of Psalm 50 says this, that God owns every animal of the forest and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalm 121 says this, and I read it, actually, it's just a few verses long. It says this. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. See, I made 3 conclusions, remember? First one, if the government fell or went bust or just decided not to do, I would be in trouble. And not only that, that I couldn't help myself and I couldn't help other people if that happened because I just wouldn't have enough. But I also made a 3rd conclusion. I need to trust not in the government or in myself. I need to trust in the only one who both has the resources and the authority always to take care of me. He never slumbers, nor will he sleep, but he will always watch. I need to have faith in him, not in governments or authorities, not even in myself, but I need to trust in the only one that can take care of me. You see, when Jesus came on earth, yes, he came to live, he died, so that we could have a relationship with God. And at the end, if you want to get to know Jesus, there'll be a moment for you to do that. But he came to do more than that, my friends. More than that. He came to take care of us, to fulfill our needs, to make sure that we were okay. You see, the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't about feeding the 5,000. It was about the disciples knowing that God could look after them, that Jesus could look after them. And if they just had a few, that he could multiply them into many to take care of them and their families and the ministries that they were about to be involved with. The story of the tax was to tell the disciples, it wasn't to pay the tax, really. It was to show the disciples that God could miraculously provide that which was needed when it was needed. And they needed to hear and know these things. And so do you. There's only God. And through his son, Jesus Christ, he's the only one who can take care of your provision and your needs. Here, nothing else can do that like God can do. He is the only one with the resource and the authority to take care of you. Many years ago, Michelle and I were at Bible college, and we'd saved up hard. We determined in the holidays that we would get jobs and we would work, and that we would do our very best to pay through Bible college. Some of our friends and family in our church supported us. And we did fairly well until the final term of our final year. At the start of the term, we totted up our savings and the gifts that we'd received. And we knew at the end of the term that we would owe £2,000. So we told the college that's where we were. And they said, that's okay. You know, and we said, look, As soon as we get home, we will work and we'll pay this off as fast as we can. I said, that's fine, that's okay. And we prayed and said, God, you know, we'd love for you to do a miracle and we believe in you. But if not, then we know that you have our backs and everything's fine. Well, with about 3 weeks to go to the end of term, we had a note. It was from the bursar. And he just wrote, said, look, we just want to let you know that we have a hardship fund in college that people have given into over the years, and every year we give grants out. And we'd love this year to give you, Ed and Michelle, a grant of £700. Man, we were stoked. £700, that was amazing. We only owed £1,300. That was fantastic. How good is that? We came away rejoicing and sent a nice letter of thank you very much to the college and to the team that had decided this for us. A few days later, just a couple of days later, we received a letter and a card through the post. The card and the letter had inside it, you know, we've been praying and we're believing in some family news from a friend of ours. And also note to say we were praying and we really felt that God wanted us to support you. So we enclose a check for you to use on fees or accommodation or whatever else you need in this time. Just we want to believe in you and say that we love you. And we unfolded the check as you. It's £1,000. £1,000. Amazing. Thousand. That means we only owe 300. Wow. God is good. How excited were we? So we put the check in the bank. 2 days later, we had another letter from another friend. Similar story as some family news, what was going on. And then a note towards the end of, we were praying, I was praying, we were thinking about we should support you and what to give. And we really felt that God had placed this amount of money on our heart to give to you. You'd spend on it as you need, as you see fit. Now, you can kind of guess how much that check was for. So you see, God provides. And it was just in the right time. If it had been sooner, then the grant that the college wouldn't have been 700, it would have been less. If it had been late, it would have left, and we'd have left with debts. But God knew in precisely the right moment, God provided all that we need. And that check, that final check of 300, meant that we left Bible College with no debts at all. You see, I know, not just from what the Bible says, but I know from experience, that the one to trust is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can you trust and bet your life on like Jesus. We have an incredible government, incredible local authorities, and they care for us so well, and we should rejoice. And I believe that's God's provision for us as people, and they're awesome. And I know that we can earn money, and we should earn money, but we should never bank and rely completely on the government or the local authority. We shouldn't even trust in ourselves. There's only one who we can trust and bet our life on, and his name is Jesus. Jesus came to provide for your needs for today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. In a moment, somebody is going to give you an opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's going to be the most amazing relationship that you've ever had. If you don't know Jesus yet, I want to encourage you with all my heart to say yes to Jesus, to turn from living your own way and begin to follow Jesus. He will help you and he will be the rock that you can build your life on. Let me pray for you and then I'll finish. Father, we thank you for all the wonderful provision that you have given us in our country, for the amazing world that we live in. But Father, we recognize that it's actually all yours. Father, we thank you that you both have the resource and the authority to provide for every need in our life. And there is no other who can do that for us. So God, for so many who are listening to this, God, we give ourselves to you again and say, God, we trust in you and in you alone. And we look to you to provide our needs, our deepest needs in every level of our lives. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he demonstrated to the disciples over and over again that he could provide for their practical needs. God, I pray for any who are listening to this, who don't know you, that in the next few minutes that they may say, God, I want to begin to have a relationship with you. I want to turn from live my own ways and begin to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.